So I really feel like today is kind of a transitional day, even as we approach the fall. Pastor will be preaching the next couple Sundays, and it's not going to be that far. We're going to be Thanksgiving before we know it. Can you believe it? 9 days till the election, about a month till Thanksgiving, and then it'll be all the way through to Christmas. And so I just really felt like I wanted to kind of just share my heart today and kind of just reveal what I feel like God is saying to us individually and even corporately. The Lord started speaking this subject that we're going to talk about today clear back in 2016, so whatever, 8 years ago. And one of the things that has kind of been, as we've talked about returning to our roots, getting back to the New Testament church, where we've talked about how the Lord is changing the very face of Christianity in a decade. And we're seeing that happen. We see, whether we like it or not, like a deconstruction going on in the church at large. We see that, you know, throughout the United States and throughout the churches and denominations and everything. And God is bringing that change. And God is exposing. I was thinking about that with Andrea when she was praying a little bit ago, that God is exposing things. We see that taking place in the church, and now we see it also taking place in the world. Things that were hidden, you know, that we can't believe that those things are, but God is revealing that. Epstein, Diddy, all these things that have been hidden, God is shining the spotlight and revealing things. And so I really believe that God is returning us back to an organic New Testament model church that we have gotten away from. And it has taken all of these kind of difficult challenges and, you know, even the deconstruction of the church for that to take place, to bring us back to the place they say, God, we want you. Jesus, we want you. Jesus, we want the model of the church that, you know, that you intended from the very beginning. You can try every gimmick. And I was thinking this morning, and when I was in Michigan, we used to do a football jersey or sports jersey Sunday. And so I had my Steelers shirt on. I was representing. Yep. I had my jersey on. And so somebody came up with this idea that any new visitor that would be there that Sunday, they would stand up, and the hospitality team baked all these loaves of fresh, you know, homemade bread. And so, yep, you're probably thinking that. So I would take the bread, and somebody would stand up, and it was pretty long. I would throw the bread, and, you know, they would catch it and everything. And I got close to the right at the end, and I was on the last loaf, and there was an elderly lady standing up over there, and I threw it, and it hit her right in the head. And I'm going, like, I just said, we are never doing that again. That would be my luck. But, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, that, you know, they're lighthearted things. But the church is about relationship with God and relationship with one another. And one of the things that we'll talk about as we see just God changing everything is, what is an apostolic hub that we see in the New Testament, and what the church is supposed to be like organic. Church was never supposed to be just a two-hour thing that we come to, or an hour and a half thing that we come to. Somebody said 2 hours, but that we come to on Sunday. And so the Lord really began to speak this to me in 2016, and God just made it, kind of brought it back up in my heart yesterday. And I really feel like that this coming year, it is a year of recalibrating. 2025, that we are going to recalibrate personally, our families, in even within the context of us as a church, but even beyond that, at the church at large in America, in the world, that there's going to be a recalibration that is going to come from the Lord. You know, if you think of the word in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, this is the words of Jesus, since this is the Amplified. It says, repent. Change your inner self, your old ways of thinking. Regret past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent is actually a military word that was used during that time of Jesus, that it means about face. It means to change your direction, to recalibrate your direction. And I really believe God wants us to recalibrate our lives as we come into this next year so that we can actually accomplish the things of the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is at hand. One translation says, the kingdom of God is within reach for every one of us. And so I really think the Lord is going to recalibrate. Go to that next slide. The word recalibrate means this, to calibrate something again. The word calibrate, to set your aim or measurement to hit a mark or desired outcome. To recalibrate means to readjust or change your aim or measurements to hit a mark or desired outcome. Now, some of you that maybe you shoot guns or bows, you know that if you're off this much at the beginning, you're off way when you get there to the target, right? And so what do you have to do? You have to recalibrate your aim so that you can hit your desired target. That's why Mel Gibson said, aim small, miss small. None of you watched The Patriot, okay? Remember when he told his boys, aim small, miss small? So what are we aiming at? And the reality is, I really feel like God has to bring us to a place that we know what we're aiming at so that we can accomplish it, that we can hit it. So as we enter into 2025, this is a message I usually would, you know, be speaking or preaching at the end of the year, but I felt like I wanted to get a head start on us, is that we know what we're aiming at. What is your family aiming at? What are you in your personal life? What are you aiming at? What is City Church aiming at? And, you know, the reality is you've heard the cliche say that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, right? And so what are we aiming at? And so there has to be a recalibration. I was watching an old war movie on a Navy ship, a battleship, and they were shooting the guns, and they were missing the target, and they would yelled out that word that rang in my spirit on that old movie. They were saying, recalibrate, recalibrate, changing the direction of the aiming so that you hit your target. And so if you start out at a place and you are 1 degree off, you'll be way off time you get over here, right? Some of you, I remember when I went to basic training, 1987, and I learned maps and compasses, and I don't remember them now. Now you have GPSs on your phone and X maps. I don't need those anymore unless your battery goes dead on your phone, which had happened in Idaho. I was in a snowstorm, and I knew where the camp was, and then the snowstorm came in, and I couldn't see nothing. And so my phone had X maps on it. Some of you, but anyway, it navigates you with satellites. Well, all of a sudden, my phone went dead, and so now I started panicking. And so for 4 hours, I hiked. And when I came back to the snow where my footprints were before, I realized I had done a 4-hour circle. And so then I just started praying, because I knew if I had to stay out there all night without any, you know, I was going to freeze to death. Anyway, I just prayed, and I just felt like I was supposed to go down over this one side of the hill that I hadn't went. And when I got down there, I found the trail, and it led me back to camp. And the reality is, I feel like that's kind of where we're at as the church right now. Not just us. I'm talking about the church at large. That we're in a snowstorm, and what we have relied on from the past to navigate us, the battery's dead. And so it's coming to that place to say, God, we don't know where to go from here. We don't know what to do. We don't even know how to recalibrate and what direction to go in. And I really feel like as we seek the face of God as we enter this new year, that God is going to give us the things that we are to aim at, and that we can recalibrate our lives. And so how many have a thermostat in your home? And it, up and down, depending on who's walking by it, right? Somebody's always too cold and somebody's always too hot. And so there's always this fluctuation of recalibration, because you're aiming at something, whether it's, you know, like I like it 64, you know, and somebody else might like it 74. How many? So there's a complete recalibration. So what is God saying to us today? We're recalibrating our life, our family, our church, changes in your aim. If you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's the definition of insanity, right? So we can't just do what we've always done. We've got to do things different. We've got to aim differently. We have to recalibrate as God will lead us. So the real issue, when we recalibrate for every one of us, it requires change. Some of you love change, but most of you probably don't like change. The real issue is change, the knowledge that change is needed. Does anybody think maybe change is needed? Yeah? If you don't start there, if you don't think, if you're one of those people who just say, well, nothing needs to change, everything's good the way it is, then this sermon's not for you then. So, but the second thing, there has to be a willingness to change. You have to be willing to change. The third thing, the knowledge of what to change. Okay, I'm ready for change, but what do we change? And then after we have the knowledge of what to change, then we have to have a strategy. How do we accomplish it? That we, you know, it's good to have dreams and good to have people who are great visionaries, but it takes the vision. You got to put it into practice. You got to put it in and you got to implement it. And so then finally is coming to the last stage, is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to change, whether within every context of our lives. And some of you, it doesn't matter how young or how not as young as you used to be, it doesn't, but you can still change, right? You can still change. Why people do not change? Why don't we change? We're afraid, fear, the past, preference, this is what I like, this is what I enjoy, pressure to stay the same, uncertain what the change may require of you, unaware that you can access the power of God to be empowered to change. Now, we don't need to change if everything's great and wonderful and perfect and the church is going great and wonderful in America and everything's, but that's not where we are. So it is requiring us to change and God will empower us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. That's what God wants to do, right? So the questions persist now. What are we doing with our lives? What are the motives that order our days? What are we trying, where are we trying to go? Where do we put the emphasis and where are our values focused? For what end do we make sacrifices? Where is my treasure and what do I love the most in my life? These are some questions to start with. As you begin to answer these questions, then you can begin to realize where you want to go and what changes you need to make. What are you trying to hit or what goals do you have for your life? Mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, ministry. And guess what? For all of those things you want to change spiritually, it's going to require change. You want to change mentally, it's going to require change. Whether that means study or you need more solace time, peace time, whatever it may be. Physically, we don't want to go there. We're about ready to go have pumpkin pie and turkeys and head into Christmas and such. But we have to do things if we're going to change physically. Financially, there's a lot of things we can do to change our finances, right? Yeah, okay. Our relationships, and then what God's called us to do in ministry. And this is the question. Maybe you don't feel like this, but do you ever feel like you just need to recalibrate, like you're going about your life and something is just a little off? That's the way I've felt for a while. And so I've been just taking time. I'm not in a rush, saying, God, where do I need to make changes at? Where do I need to recalibrate my thinking? It's easy to get so sidetracked by the business of living life as it is that we lose our bearing on life as he intended. Think back 10 years ago. Is the life you're living today what you envisioned 10 years ago? Maybe you need to recalibrate to get back on track. And I feel like God is going to give us the direction for that and then he's going to give us the help to do it by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we encounter sudden corrections and unforeseeable detours that jars us from the path we are previously on. Surprise, we're pregnant. Or, I'm sorry, the chemo doesn't seem to be working as well as we'd hoped. Or, we're moving you up in the company, giving you a promotion. Even the good things are changing. Or, we're moving. We're moving somewhere else. And all of those things are dramatic, and they can jar your life. And so important in every moment of these sudden, you know, changes is saying, God, I need your help to navigate through this. Big events like these can knock us off track, but they also can help us to shake off everything that's not central to our identity and propel us forward with new resolve towards who we will be. But it doesn't have to take a life-altering event to help us do that. We can consistently recalibrate and make sure we are keeping our lives oriented around the mission and the glory of God in our lives. We can step out of our routines and examine them. What has crept in that doesn't need to be a regular part of our lives or our day? What has distracted us from what we are hoping for and stolen our hope in the process? And this is individually that God would come and just kind of jar us sometimes so that we can take the time to recalibrate. And so, let me just give you a few things that I felt like the Lord was saying to us. How do we do that? How do we begin to prepare for that? Number one, this is a give me, I know. But number one, make your relationship with God your greatest priority. You remember how Jesus dealt with the church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the Amplified says it this way, but I have this charge against you that you've left your first love. You have lost the depth of love that you first had for me. To return to the Lord, returning, and why don't we just pray that right now? Lord, in Jesus' name, we don't want to just hear something. We want to respond to it. Any way in our hearts and our lives that we have left the priority of our relationship with you. God, we pray that as right now we repent, we make an adjustment, we recalibrate our lives to make you the priority in Jesus' name. So what you must do to, you know, make the priority of your relationship with the Lord, pray daily, read the Bible daily, worship daily, journal if that's something that you love to do, assemble together when you have the chance, find accountability in your life, and always be a disciple and receive discipleship. Amen? Okay, number two. We're almost done, okay? Number two, ask God what to remove or to let go in your life. Think about this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. But one thing I do, I'm forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And Lord, we come to you today. Every one of us have things in our lives that it doesn't even mean that they're evil necessarily. They're just maybe taking the time, they're sucking life and energy out of us. God, show us the things that we need to remove. Show us the things that we need to let go. Sometimes what we need to let go is any kind of bitterness or unforgiveness, anything that we have carried with us because of something someone else has done to us, that we need to let those things go. We don't want to carry them anymore. God, just show us in every one of our lives, show us things that we need to remove and let go in Jesus' name. Number three, be ready to embrace the new from God. This is so important, and I know that it can be just sounds so cliche. Everything else is me to get to this point. As we enter into 2025, be teachable. Bill Johnson used to say, how do you, he asked God, how do you stay in revival? How do you continue to walk in that? And God said, always be a novice. You know what? We become experts in a lot of things that we need to just say, God, teach us. We want to be teachable. And that we live in a new day. somebody was just recently, we experienced, especially between like 2006, 2007, 2008, when we were in Michigan, we, in those couple years there, we experienced a great outpouring of God. It was nothing like that we have ever seen in my wife and I's ministries. We have ever seen, you know, God do something. And it was not because we were perfect or we were a mess probably, but God was doing something incredible. And I've heard a lot of people say things to me about, you know, like they want to go back, you know, the glory years. Those are gone. Even the things that worked back then, they're not going to work now. God's moved on. And I really feel like for every one of us in our lives that God is wanting us to be willing and able to embrace the new. And it's going to require us to be teachable. Isaiah 43, verse 19. When I was 19 years old and when I came back to the Lord after being away from the Lord for a little while, and I remember I had my big old Dakes Bible, I did, laying on the floor, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I just felt like the Lord just, you know, you've had those moments where you just feel like the Lord came in the room, and I felt like the Lord came in the room, and I began to read this, and it's kind of become a theme for me since it was there at the very, very beginning. But I'm saying this with all my heart is what I want to believe God for as we go into 2025. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I really believe God is going to cause something to spring forth. It's not, this is me. You guys, if you have a different mindset on this, that we just got it, you got your ticket and you're ready for it to be punched and go to heaven, you know, whatever. In everything in my heart, I believe God is going to do something very sovereign. And it's not going to be because of any celebrity preacher or church name or even denomination. It's going to be the people of God who are so sick and tired of playing the game that they're just hungry for Jesus, that are going to cause, because of the sovereignty of the Lord, he'll see the hearts of hungry, that he's going to spring forth. There's going to be something sovereign. It's going to be new. It's going to maybe not look like what we've ever seen before. And it's going to leave the four walls of the church and be organically out in the lives of people, Christians, in the day-to-day. How do we do that? Well, we do it like this. Hebrews 11, verse 8, Abraham said by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And this is what really struck me, this last part. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I feel like that's exactly where we are as the church at whole. That's how I feel in my own life. I always have been one of those people that I always knew what the next step was. And I would just like break out in hives if I didn't know what the next step was. And everything about what God has done in this season of bringing us back to West Virginia and everything, we have no idea what the next step is. And we still feel like that in some ways. And I want you to understand that we may not know where we're going, but the most important thing is how it starts by faith. Abraham obeyed. Lord, by faith, we'll obey. By faith. Amen? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I just feel like every Sunday we get up and say we're so on target with what the Holy Spirit's saying to the church, you know. And he's talking, and Heather has something too. And I, that image, you know, of that young, in the school of the prophets, there was this young man who was chopping wood, and the axe head flew off into the river. And so I heard Jack Hayford years ago talk about flying off the handle and losing your cutting edge. That's just brilliant. And we've been talking about going back to the place, recalibrating to the relationship with God. Where's the cutting edge? And going to the place, that last place where you knew you were in obedience. Even at the Unite meeting last Sunday night, I had that, my little part was talking about the picture of a special future. And as we were, the different pastors were finishing up, I was standing over there, and my little part had to do with how God tells you something that it gives you a vision of a special future. And then the trials of life come. And here I'm standing over there, and I feel like the Lord said, there's a certain amount of people that I've already given the vision to, but they've fallen off the track. They've come off the rail. And that there's something for them that the Lord has. And I remember standing there saying that. So when I was standing over there, the Lord felt like many of you have already received a vision of where to go in the Lord. And He's going to reignite that. He'll take you back to the place at the river. Recalibration is a miracle. It's a miracle work of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. Nobody can explain the physics behind an axe head coming up out of the water. And it's almost the same miracle as you getting your cutting edge back. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. He comes and says, you make the decision. I need you, Jesus, more than life itself. I need you more than anything else. Anything else. And He begins to give you the cutting edge back. And you begin to fashion and form that relationship, like you pointed out, recalibrate to your first love. Would you lift your hands just to the Lord to begin to say, I need recalibration. I need the miracle. The miracle of restoring the cutting edge. Cutting edge that goes through things where I've been stuck, but I can go through now. A work of the Spirit to take me through what would hinder me. Let somebody praise the Lord with me, would you? The Holy Spirit's ministering something, because this recalibration word is so important. The Lord's making adjustments. Let's just praise Him. Just say, Lord, I thank You for the internal work of the Holy Spirit to revive, to transform, to restore, to adjust, to recalibrate my heart before You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
I believe in the midst of everything, many of us are new to the Lord, and some of us have been walking with Him a long, long time. And I believe the Lord would just say to you that expect My goodness. I haven't left the scene. And no matter where you're struggling or where you may feel it's hopeless or what is going on, Lord, I'm still Lord. I'm still King. And I have it under control. So take your eyes off of whatever it is that's concerning you and say, I trust You, Lord. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand together. Thank You, Jesus, for a sweet time, an instructive time, and a good time. Amen. As we dismiss, I want you to know, if you want to recalibrate, you know, like if you were saying, you know what, I need to fine-tune some things, I'm available, there's several of us available for praying with you. If you want to give your heart to the Lord, say, I'm going to start my life with Jesus, I'll pray with you. If there's something, like He was pointing out, just repenting, turning around from something, we want to be available to you. We love you. Have a wonderful day. Love one another. We love you. God bless.